So I have been thinking about you girls and praying and asking the Lord to give me wisdom in what to share. And usually every holiday season, my husband and I, we get the opportunity to share at a bunch of different places. And so I start to think, okay, Lord, I need a theme. I need you to show me. So I'm hoping that you guys brought your Bibles. And if you did not, some of you use your Bibles on your phone. So if you haven't tried that before, I definitely think that we are going to be looking at scriptures, and I want you girls to be able to read it with me. So use your Bible or use your phone, whatever works for you. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, you know what? I have a really awesome friend who has this really cool machine, and it's called a Glowforge. It's a laser machine. It's a very pricey machine. I think she paid like $5,000 for it, and so it can just do about anything. But this is one of the things it can do. So it can take acrylic, and it can, you pick the pattern, and then it can cut it out. So we put, I put my favorite scripture on it, but it's a scripture that we are looking at today, one of my scriptures from Hebrews chapter. If you guys want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles right now to Hebrews 11:6, and that's where we'll start. But I'll pray for us first. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can gather together, Lord. We desire to be women of the Word, and we're getting closer to the holidays, and things start to ramp up, and our obligations and responsibilities, Lord, and but we're taking this time right now, Lord, to go back to your word, to refresh ourselves, Father, in the truth of what the scripture says about who you are and what we believe. And I just pray that you would have your way, that it would speak to each of our hearts, Lord, that I'm assuming, and I'm just acknowledging that you have prepared hearts, because that's what your Holy Spirit does. You prepare us, Lord, for your word. So we thank you for the worship, and go before us, we now, and asking these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Okay. So I was thinking of all the different kind of phrases that we think about or we see like in advertising. And so one that kind of caught my eye this year was merry and bright. You seen that everywhere? Like in stores and things. And, you know, it's advertising that Christmas, that this season is supposed to be merry and bright. Another one I thought of was I've seen the magic of Christmas. Have you guys seen that one? Yeah. And you know, these are advertising slogans, and there's a really good advertising slogan in the Word of God. And it's this word that I'm wearing. Can you guys see my shirt? It says believe. All right, you can't see it, but it says believe, trust me. And so I saw this shirt, and I told my husband, I said, oh, I just have to, I didn't buy it when I first saw it. I went home and I said, there's a sweater. I just have to have it. He goes, you do? And I said, it says believe on it. And he goes, it does? And I said, yeah. And he said, and you need it for what reason? You know, and I'm like, well, I want to wear it to the luncheon in Stockton. I said, because I'm going to share this word. And so anyways, selfishly, I bought this sweater in honor of you girls, but I was thinking about the Word of God, but I just thought it was so cute. So I just want to look at today and consider the word believe. And there should be certain things that we do believe as Christian, as women. And so, again, my favorite scripture, which we're going to read today, and it is on your keychain, is Hebrews 11:6. And again, I use the Amplified Bible, so my Bible, the verse may have a few more words, but I think it's what we're trying to, like, let our ears be pricked and hear is the word believe in the scripture. So it says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whomever comes near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So there's our word that we want to look at today. We want to look at the word believe. We're supposed to believe that God exists. So hopefully all of you believe that God exists. And if you don't, I think what we should do quickly before we get into the study is just turn over to the book of Acts. So go back to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and verse 31. And this is how it reads. Again, this is Acts 16, 31. Now, Paul and Silas, they were in jail. And it says, this is what they answered the jailer. It says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and entrust yourself to him, and you will be saved, you and your household, if they believe." So the key is the word believe is as a Christian. First and foremost, the first thing you have to believe, you have to believe that God exists and that his son, Jesus Christ, will forgive you of your sin. And that's how you have that personal relationship. So I'm not just believing in the magic of Christmas. I'm believing in the reality of Christ coming at this time as a baby. So there's a difference. As a Christian, we can choose to look at this word believe in a fresh way. And that's what I want to look at. I want to look at the freshness of the word believe. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Christmas story, and it's in the book of Luke, chapter 1. So let's all turn there together. So again, thinking about this theme scripture about pleasing God, I think it's essential, not that we believe that he exists, which I believe we all believe that he exists, and that's why we're Christians, and we've asked him to forgive us of our sin, but that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so, I mean, I don't know about you girls, but I would think as Christian women that you want to please God. That is something that once we get to know him and fall in love with him, then that's what he does. He changes us from the inside to make us want to please him, in the things we say, in the way we act, in our relationships, at work, with our spouse, with our kids, with our in-laws, with our outlaws. Really, I think we could sum up the whole walk of our Christianity as pleasing God. That's what he wants. He wants us to please him. And the first thing that pleases him is receiving that free gift. And then to believe that he's a rewarder. You have to believe that God is good. And so when we look at Luke chapter 1, and that's where we're going, I think it's a really good idea, and I'm just going to encourage you all to do it. Maybe you have done it, but every year at Christmas time, I think we should read the story of Jesus' birth again, to just refresh us. Because sometimes we just look over things or we read over things and we think, oh, we know the story already. But every year when I do that, God brings something fresh to me. It's almost like an onion. When you peel an onion, you peel the first layer back and then you peel it back. Our whole Christianity, it's like an onion, and we're just peeling things back, learning more and more about God. And we'll never know everything about him until we get to be with him face to face. But this story here, we're going to learn some really cool things, and hopefully you guys have thought about this before, or maybe it's going to be something fresh that you haven't thought about before. But there's four people that I was considering as I read through this chapter, chapter 1 of Luke. I was thinking of, well, the first one that's kind of big is the angel Gabriel. A big dude, a big angel, a strong angel, a powerful angel. And then I was thinking about Elizabeth, an old lady. And maybe I was thinking about her because I feel like I'm old now. And maybe some of you are. Some of you are young, but some of you are old. And as we get into those latter years, we have more years behind us than we have in front of us, which means we're getting closer to seeing Jesus face to face. Okay. And so I just want to encourage you that we know his name, but we want to make sure that he knows our name. And the way he knows our name is by spending time with him. And the only way you can spend time with him is if you read his word. Because what does John 1:1 say? It says, in the beginning was the word. The word was made flesh. The world dwelt among us. And the word was God, right? So that means Jesus was God. And he was in our midst. And that's what the word is. The word is alive. It's true. It's who he is. And that's why it's so important for us to read it. So we're just going to look at some of these verses together. And I think you might find something about people who believe and people who don't believe. Okay, so we have the angel right here. And we have Zacharias. And if you guys know anything about Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, they had an amazing son, and what was his name?
John.
John the what?
The Baptist.
There you go, John the Baptist. You are a good student. You're welcome. So we've got the two parents of John the Baptist, and they were old. And so it says in the Bible that they were old, but we don't know exactly how old. So if you guys know exactly how old they were, I would like to see your hand. Or guess how old you think. How old do you think Zacharias was?
80.
You think he was 80? Okay. Someone else? Says he was old. I'm 64, and I think I'm old. So 80, yeah, that's really old. Anybody else? Okay, what about Elizabeth? How old do you think Elizabeth was?
I would say 68, 69, something like that.
You think she was in her 60s, okay?
Yeah, late 60s.
Late 60s, okay. Anybody else have a guess? Okay, well, let me just say that they're all guesses because we don't actually know exactly how old they are. But it just says they were older. And so in the Bible, if you know anything about the priests actually got to serve as priests until they were 50. And then at 50 years old, then they became priests that didn't do as much of the hard labor. They were more like mentors, and they did things in the temple that were a lot less physical. So the bulk of the priests, what were their jobs, right? People came with their animals, and they had to kill the animals, and that was the sacrifice, and they had to, okay. So by this time, Zacharias, he was an older man, and someone said 80. Yeah, that's true. They say between 80 and 90, so he was older. They had to serve in the temple, and so what he did is he went in and he lit incense and he trimmed the wicks, and that was something that an 80 or 90-year-old could do. So anyways, the angel, Gabriel, the angel was really busy this month in history. He appears like three different times within a very short period of time, and this time, this is what it says here, and we're talking about Zacharias in the first chapter of Luke. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Zacharias, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Remember, I told you he was in there. Anytime they went in, every morning when they trimmed the wicks, they also had to do incense, and they would give an offering. And it says, when Zacharias saw the angel, he was troubled and overcome with fear. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, because your petition in prayer was heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. Now think about that. He's in the temple. He's an old man. And you think about your petition in prayer. His prayer request has been heard. But here he is at, let's just say he was 80 or 90. How many years do you think he's been praying that? This is a prayer that's probably been since he was, let's say, just 30. This could be a 50 or 60-year-old prayer that he's been praying to have a child. Obviously, he's too old. Obviously, his wife, who's in her 60s or 70s or 80s, we know that she was past being able to bear children. She was quite old herself. So anyways, he gets this amazing word, and you will have great joy and delight, and many people will rejoice over his birth. For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord. How great and distinguished was John? Does anybody have an answer for that from the scriptures? In the word, it says, Jesus said that he was the greatest man that ever lived besides himself. Did you know that? Yeah. So, I mean, this was going to be a powerful, powerful messenger. He came to prepare the way for the Messiah. So this is what the angel's talking about. He will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord. He will never drink wine or liquor. He will be filled with and empowered to act by the Holy Spirit while he is still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back from sin to love and serve their God. For it is he who will go, here we go, as a forerunner before him. This is Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah. And then it quotes some scripture there from the Old Testament. And this is the prophecy. It says to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, which is to seek and submit to the will of God in order to make ready a people perfectly prepared spiritually and morally for the Lord. So that was John's mission. For John to please God, he was supposed to make, and this is a big order, spiritually and morally prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. And then in 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I be certain of this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in age." And then here comes the hammer. And the angel replied to him and said, "I am Gabriel. I stand and minister in the very presence of God, and I have been sent by him to speak to you and bring you this good news." Do you think he said that in a cheerful way? Oh, yeah. He absolutely came down on him and said, "What in the world?" He goes, "Listen carefully, Zacharias. You will be continually silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place because you did not believe what I told you. But my words will be fulfilled at their proper time." That's a rebuke. And so we want to make sure that when the Lord speaks to us, that we believe his word to be true and that we act in a way that is pleasing to him. And how is that way? That is a confident, expectant way. Why? Because I know who God is. I'm not wishy-washy about my belief in who God is. I know that God is good and nothing happens in my life without his permission. And so he wants me to please him. And so when trials come my way, when tribulations come my way, when things don't work out the way that I think they're supposed to work out, which is probably most of the time, the Lord says, "It's your choice. You're going to please me? Then you have to believe that I'm going to reward you, regardless of what's happening. Do you believe that?" And that's why that's one of my scriptures. He wants us to diligently and earnestly seek him. And that is not just willy-nilly. That means I have to go after the things of the Lord. I have to go after the word of God. I can't leave my time with Jesus to someone else. And so let me just throw this idea. I love my pastor. Happens to be my husband, but I do love him. I think we should all love our pastors because it says that they're worth double honor because they're doing the work, studying and bringing that food to us. But it's like a baby bird. And a baby bird is in the nest and the mother flies out, go gets the worm, goes get whatever she's going to get for the baby, brings it back and chews it up. What's that called? Mastication. I saw a lot of you girls masticating today. Your food was good, huh? But we don't feed it. You know, we swallowed it. But the baby birds, you know, the mom chews it up and then she gives it to each of the birds, right? And that's what your pastor does. He gets all this rich time of study and preparation and he chews up the word and then he feeds it to you like that. And that's good for a season. And it's good, actually, every Sunday and Wednesday, but that can't be your only meal. See, you're created to be a bird that feeds itself, and you feed yourself on the Word of God. So I can't do it for you, and your pastor, Weston, can't do it for you, and your pastor's wife, Morgan, can't do it for you, or the special speaker that comes in from here or there. Nobody can do it for you but you. And that's the way that God and Jesus, I mean, when you go up there and you see Jesus face to face, I think of that often. It says that he's created a name for me that nobody else knows but him. It says that in the book of Revelation. And when I get up to him face to face, he's going to call me that special name. And I often think, I think of the names that I don't want it to be called. I don't want that to be, oh, hi, procrastinator. Oh, or, you know, whatever. You can make up your own, okay? I don't want that. I want him to have that sweet, precious name that only he and I know. Well, actually, I don't even know it. He knows it because he knows me better than I know myself. So he's going to call me this new name. And you guys are going to have a new name when you meet him face to face. But think about, there's just, I don't know, the way the Lord speaks to me in his word is he I read a story and then he just, it's like, I guess I'm kind of like a cow. Cow has five tummies and it eats and it chews it and it goes into the first tummy and to the second tummy, to the third, to the fourth, to the fifth. I think they have five tummies, don't they? Cows, sections of their tummy, and then it finally makes its way out. But that means all the nutrients, everything's been gotten out of what they've eaten. And so that's what I want to encourage you ladies. I want you guys to be that kind of a woman of the word, that like, okay, we're reading this, and I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to you. I want you to be women who believe, and I want you to know what you believe, because if you know what you believe, then you can't be dissuaded, and you can't be discouraged to go down a different path. No, we're on a path to Jesus, and we believe, all of us believe in certain things, so we're gonna talk about those. But in this particular thing, we have a man right here. He was a godly man. He was a priest. He had a lineage, and yet when the word of God came to him through this powerful angel, he did not believe. And so what was his consequence? Well, regardless if you believe or not, God's going to do what God's going to do because he's in charge. Okay? So you can argue and you can throw a temper tantrum and you can be a little, you know, like a little toddler, or you can be mature and believe what the word says. And it has nothing to do with your age, and it has nothing to do with your lineage. It just has to do with who you are in your walk with the Lord. And so here we've got this 80 or 90 year old man who's been in the priesthood. He's been serving in the temple. He's been a very busy man. He's probably had 50 plus years serving in the temple, which is quite an honor. And he's still, the word of God comes to him and he does not believe. So what the angel said, the message that the angel brought from the Lord, did it happen? Yes or no? Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely happened. So it's not that Zacharias, that God was limited by Zacharias's unbelief. No, God was going to do what God's going to do. You can't stop the Lord. Do you know that? You cannot stop the Lord. What he's going to accomplish will be accomplished. Every single thing in the book right here, all the way to the book of Revelation, will come to pass. We might not see it. The prayers that we pray for people's salvation, did you know prayers are eternal? So you can be praying for your kids, for your grandkids, for their salvation, and even when you die, those prayers continue on. Why?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Why do they continue on? Because prayer for salvation is according to God's will. We know that because that's what the Word of God says. Now, not that they're going to have a good life or a happy life or whatever other things you might pray, but when you pray for salvation, that is an eternal prayer that lasts forever. Because God says that he doesn't want any man to perish. He doesn't want anyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means every single person, he wants to be saved. And that's when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for your sin or your family's sin or, you know, the sin of the United States of America. He died for past, present, and future of every person that was ever born, even the ones that don't accept him. He died for their sin too. He died for the whole world. That's why it was so painful for him. And sometimes, I mean, I honestly, I've been a pastor's wife since I was very young. I was just in my 20s. Now I'm in my 60s. And so I've had this life walking with the Lord. And there's still new things. And I think I was maybe 35 when this whole concept of Jesus dying on the cross, I knew that verse as a child, John 3:16. If you watch football, you see him holding up that John 3:16, you know. That's a verse that most everybody knows. But I, for some reason, I only thought that it was for the ones that believed. And no, it's for everybody. That has given me such peace. That's given me such confidence in the Word of God. And I'm excited that I learned it at age 35, okay? So here I am at almost 65, hoping that I can maybe open your guys' eyes to something about belief. All right, so we come down here. We're at verse 20. Listen carefully. You're not going to be able to speak. That's in 22. And then when his time for the priestly service was finished, he returned home. And it says, and after this, so he had already gone home, after this, his wife became pregnant. And for 5 months, here's little Elizabeth, this old lady, for 5 months, she secluded herself. Now, if you were, let's just say she's 68. If you were a 68-year-old woman and you got pregnant, wouldn't you want to seclude yourself too? It'd be like you have no business having a baby at 68. But there she was, and she was so excited about it. And so it says, and this is how the Lord has dealt with me. This is what Elizabeth is saying. In the days when he looked with favor on me to take away my disgrace among men. So in that culture, if you didn't have a child, it was disgraceful, and it was something that they looked down upon you for. So here she is, along with her husband. She had served the Lord all this time, and she's finally pregnant. All right, so we're going through the story, and now we're thinking about someone different, someone who made the choice when the angel came to believe. And so, this is the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Like I told you, Gabriel was busy. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we know this part of the story. And coming to her, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, we know that she was very young. She could have been 12 to 16, somewhere in there. So she was a teeny bopper. And when she was greatly perplexed at what the angel had said and carefully considered what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Listen carefully. Now, that's exactly what he said to Zacharias. And he said in verse 20, "Listen carefully." All right, so here's the angel. He's saying it again. And I'm saying to you girls, listen carefully. "You will conceive in your womb, give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus." Now, I don't know about you guys, but when, again, I grew up in church since I was a little girl, and I thought that Jesus' name was unique. I thought Jesus was the only one that was called Jesus. And then I moved to Southern California, and there was like Jesus everywhere. I'm like, why are people calling their kids Jesus? I don't get it. It's Jesus. It's not Jesus. And that, you know, it's just, it's a cultural thing, but I didn't understand it. And I just thought, wow. But see, you know, when you're young and you're ignorant, you don't really know things. So I learned. So even back then, this name, Jesus, it wasn't like he was going to be the only baby that was named Jesus. There was a lot of Jesuses around his time, too. He wasn't the only one. But she was to name him Jesus for a reason. But there was other Jesuses around, but not this particular Jesus. "He will be great, eminent. We'll be called the Son of the Most High. We go down, he's going to reign over the house of Israel." And we get to 34. And Mary says, "Man, how's this going to be? I'm still a virgin, and I've had no intimacy with the man." And then in 35, this is what the Bible says. "And the angel replied to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you like a cloud. For that reason, the holy, pure, sinless child shall be called the Son of God. And listen, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her 6th month. For with God, nothing is impossible.'" And then Mary said, "I don't believe you." "No," she says, "behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left. So you have someone who didn't believe, Zacharias. And then you have a little teeny bopper. And she believed. So, like I said, it has nothing to do with our age, our spiritual connections, our heritage, you know, what we've done. It's like you either have that confidence in the Lord or you don't. And it's my encouragement today that I think the Lord wants all of us to believe who he is and what he says about himself. All right, so here we are. We're at verse 28, and we're going down. We're still in just chapter 1 of Luke, and we're coming all the way down, and we see that Mary arose, hurried to the hill country, to a city of Judea. She entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, her baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and was empowered by him. And she exclaimed loudly, "Blessed, worthy to be praised are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed, spiritually fortunate, and favored by God, here we go, girls, is she who believed and confidently trusted that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her by the angel sent from the Lord." So this is what I want. I want for you girls to look at this. "For she who believed and confidently trusted that there would be a fulfillment of the things that were spoken to her." Let me ask you this. Has the Lord ever spoken anything to you? Okay, so if you spend time with the Lord, he will speak to you. And how does he speak to you? He speaks to you from his word. So this is the freshness that we get from the word of God, is like the understanding of, hey, I want to be confident. That's the kind of person that I want to believe. I want to believe, and I want to confidently trust that the things that God has spoken to me will be fulfilled. So I'm just going to share one tiny small example for myself, and I'm sure you guys have examples that you too could also share. But when I was a young girl, I was, I think I was 19. I wasn't married yet. But I wanted to marry my husband, and we were working towards that, but I didn't have a ring or anything like that. And the Lord spoke to me, and again, I was in his word. I was just having my quiet time, and the Lord, now maybe none of you have done this, or maybe you've all done this, but there's usually a point in your life when you say, "Lord, why was I created? Why do I exist? What's the purpose for my life?" And so there I was at age 19, and I was saying, "What's the purpose for this little teeny bopper's life? I don't know, Lord. What do you have for me?" And the Lord gave me two things. The first thing he said was to be Brian's wife. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. Like, not to be my parents' daughter, not to be my grandparents' granddaughter, it was to be Brian's wife. That was the first thing. The second thing the Lord did is he gave me a vision. And the vision was a world, and the world was turning, and there was two suitcases. Not just one suitcase, there was two suitcases. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean, Lord? And the Lord, now, I'm not going to say it was an audible voice, it was an impression, strong impression that I had. And the impression was, you're going to go around the world and preach the gospel. I'm like, really? Wow, that's amazing. So anyways, I just kept it to myself, because who am I going to tell that to? It seems kind of like, you know, remember when Joseph had the dreams and he told people, and like his brothers hated him for it, right? So I'm like, I'm just keeping those things to myself. And anyways, married my husband, and we went into the ministry. And then I remember the first time he went on an international trip, and I'm like, wow, Lord, he's going on a trip. He's going like to Europe. He went to Eastern Europe, and he did some things. He went to the Philippines, and he did some things and for the Lord. And I'm like, wow. But I was at home. I was taking care of the kids. I'm like, this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. It's a lot of work. How many of you say a lot of work taking care of all these kids? Okay, so, but again, you know, spending my time in the Word, and the Lord showed me clearly. He said, you don't realize you're allowing your husband to go because that's what I've called him to do, but I'm going to reward you too. Oh, you are? Yeah, how did I know that? Because in the Old Testament, when David went out, there was people that actually took care of the stuff. And so the people who took care of the stuff when David and all of his men went out to fight, they also got the reward. When they brought everything back, it was shared with everybody. The Lord said, don't worry, you're gonna share in that. I'm like, wow. Okay, so fast forward. Now in this season of our life where my husband and I are traveling a lot. Just last weekend we were in Acapulco, and we've been just a lot of places recently that the Lord's taken us to. And I thought, you know what? That vision that he gave this little girl who was 19 or wasn't even married yet, here at almost 65, these things are now coming to pass. So just to encourage you that, you know, you pray for things, and sometimes you get discouraged, like, is this ever going to happen? Is this prayer request ever going to come to pass? Like, we're so limited with our understanding because we're in a time zone that has hours and days and minutes and seconds and months and years, and it's, you know, but in eternity, there is no boundary of time. And so when the Lord says something, it's going to be done, and you can't stop it. And the Lord said, yeah, and that's what you got to do. This right here, you guys have a keychain out. You have to believe. So even when everything looks like it's never going to work out, you know, I will say there are people who tend to have that personality. I call them Eeyores. And if you have an Eeyore personality, you know it about yourself, and everyone around you knows it, and you're not really going to change yourself about it, you know, but you can let the Holy Spirit take some of those rough edges off. But the Eeyore personality is, we'll never make it. It's never going to work out. Why are we doing this? It's too hard. It's too, you know, I'm hungry. Whatever they say. And so those people, you know, I have some of them that I love dearly. I would give my life for some of them. But you know what? Those aren't the ones I choose to. Some people, like your friends, you get to choose your friends. But in your family, you don't get to choose your family. Now, why does God do that? Because he takes family members that you love, and you can't do anything about it, and you got to live your life for however long with that family member. You got to have scuffs and schisms and conflict, and you got to have some resolution, and you ask for forgiveness, and you love them through all these things, correct? Your friends, you don't have to do that with your friends. You get to pick really great friends, and if they turn out not to be friends, you say, see ya, and you choose a different friend. But you don't get to do that with your family. You don't get to do that with your children. We were talking about it at our table earlier. You know, some of the kids, I have 5 kids, and you just get along with some of your kids better than others. It's not that you love them any different. I love all my kids. I'd give my right arm for all of them. You know, whatever they want is mine, I'll give them. But it just your personality gets, you get along better with the ones that aren't just like you. The ones that are just like you, they bug you the most. And why is that? Because you know them the best, and they're just like you. And the stuff that bugs them, that bugs you about them, you know, that probably bugs the Lord about us. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be like that, Lord. I'm sorry. But, you know, we are who we are, and the Holy Spirit helps us. And that's why when you get to the book of Revelation and you're with Jesus face to face, he's going to have that special name. He knows what it is. Like you have little special names that you call your kids or you call your spouse. There's going to be a really cool one that God's going to give you. Okay, so what do we want to do? We've got Zacharias. We've got Elizabeth. We've got Mary. And there's one other person in this scene that I just want to look at really quick. And it's another man. And he's in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And what do you think his name is? Yeah, Joseph. Oh, I love Joseph. I can't wait to meet him. Okay. Oh, that's another thing. Just being women of the word. Did you ever think about, like, I'm just going to open the Bible. Okay, I just opened up to Jeremiah. Someday, I'm going to meet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's going to say, hey, what'd you think about the book I wrote? Oh, forgot to read that one. Oh, you were a good guy, Jeremiah. You were the weeping. I know you were the weeping prophet. You know, I mean, so, like, read all the books of the Bible. Because someday you're going to meet the author. And you want to be able to have a conversation up there. Okay, just a little throwing that out. Okay, so here we go. We're looking at the conception and the birth of Jesus, starting at verse 18. This is Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found out that she was pregnant, right, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her promised husband, being a just and righteous man and not wanting to expose her publicly, right there you can tell he was kind. He didn't want her to publicly put her to shame. He planned to send her away and divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, now we read that with, after he considered this. Well, was it one night? Was it one week? We just read in Luke that this little teenager finds out she's pregnant and her parents send her away. You go to Elizabeth. You go hang out there for a while. It says that she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. When she got to Elizabeth, Elizabeth was how many months pregnant? Yes, six. We read that. So when I was reading this again, I started thinking, like, was Mary there when John the Baptist was born? Okay, so she's like 4 months pregnant, maybe 3 or 4 months pregnant, probably four. Did she leave and go home before John the Baptist was born? So I thought, I don't remember reading that. So I started looking, then I went online, and I started asking questions and trying to get to the... So there are people who say she stayed, and after John was born, then she left. And then also people that said she left beforehand. Now, we don't know. We can just guess. But as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, what if the Lord used this for this little teeny bopper to watch this old woman go through labor, to be there, to hold her hand as she was birthing John the Baptist, that she got to be there and see how it was done. Maybe she'd never seen it before. And now she got an up-close and personal view because she was going to have a baby in a manger in just a few more months. Did you ever think about that? And I thought, Lord, I've never had that thought before. Wow. That's the Holy Spirit. You're showing me something here, Lord. What? That God cares about us so much that he prepares us in advance for the things that are coming. And he prepared this little teeny bopper, little virgin of a girl who believed this big, huge angel that came to her and had to, you know, really be, go for a few months and let her husband, whatever he was going to do, happen. I bet she didn't know in those 3 months that she was there, is he going to divorce me? Am I going to have this baby? I mean, she didn't know all, like, we read the story and we see how it all happened. But she was just a little young girl. She didn't know how it was going to all happen. It hadn't been revealed to her. And a lot of times, girls, God doesn't reveal to you the whole picture. He just gives you a little snippet. And then you hang on to that snippet until it comes to pass. You hang on to that nugget. Where do those nuggets come from? It comes from you guys getting into the Word and letting the Lord speak to you. So that's the importance. Like, there's truths, there's nuggets, there's gems. They're just for you. They're in the Word. They're waiting for you to discover them, but you have to read. And so as, again, this month, or actually starting last month, and I went back to this story and just felt like the Lord was giving me this word, believe, believe, believe. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know what that means. And so I just started going to the Word and looking up all the scriptures that talk about believe. And then I started seeing it in the store, and then I saw the sweater. And I was so, and then I went to Starbucks, and I swear the gift card said believe. And I said, I'll take three of those. And my husband looked at me. And I said, well, I don't know. I just need them. And so then I got out to the car, and they didn't say believe. They said bright. I'm like, oh, I was just so in the believe mode, you know? Ah, Starbucks is on with me, but they weren't. But anyway, so just like, I don't know, at our age, like when you've been walking with the Lord for so long, girls, it can just like anything, it can get stale. There's nothing worse than stale bread. There's nothing worse than a stale marriage. There's nothing more worse than a stale relationship with Jesus, because it says that the Word of God is active and it's alive. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I want the freshness. I don't want last year's manna. Wouldn't it be horrible if I came today and I told you the same story that I told you last year? Does anyone even remember what the theme was from last year? Well, okay. This pastor's wife does. You don't count. You're the A student. Is there anyone that remembers the theme that we had from last year? Okay. I'll. Okay. It was, yeah, but it was, I want a Christmas that whispers Jesus. Remember that? Yeah. See how easy we forget? And that was just a year ago. So it would be, I know, but I'm just saying it would just be so, it would just, you know, you don't want the regurgitation. Like, if I'm going to stand in front of you, I want something fresh. I want fresh manna. I don't want it from last week or from last year, or I don't want to even take a message that I prepared for something else because the Lord's given me lots of opportunities to share. I want fresh for you girls. God loves you enough to put it on my heart to spend the time with him so I can give you a message from him. Just, of course I'm not Gabriel. Of course I don't minister in the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, I'm just a girl that's come in who spent some time getting some really great nuggets, and I'm passing those nuggets on to you, hoping that it will encourage you to find your own nuggets, because that's how you get to know Jesus. That's how, when you see him face to face, you're not afraid. Right now I'm taking care of my auntie. She's 90. She did not really know the Lord, although she was very Catholic as a young girl, parochial school the whole way, so she had truth, but then she married an unbeliever, so she spent her whole married life, 50 plus years, not walking with the Lord, and her husband's died. Everybody's died around her. She's the last one left. And then the Lord's brought me into her life, and the whole idea is, when she was a child, I know that she knew who the Lord was. And then she backslid. And she spent her whole entire life, and now she's back, and the Lord wants her, because the Lord says you can't, nobody can be taken from his hand. So that's a truth you guys should all know. Nothing and nobody can take you out of God's hand. If you accepted him and it was a real thing when you were 5 or 8 or 13 or 20, you belong to him. Now, he's got a long, like that little doggy right there, he kind of had a short leash. But some of those leashes, you know, the kind that you push it and it goes zzz, and they can go way out. The Lord lets you go zzz, and at some point he stops it and he starts to reel you back in. You can't get out of his hand. He just keeps reeling you back until you're right there. So I know with her, we have prayed. We have been working on the puzzle. I talk about her life being a puzzle. I said there's a big, huge puzzle piece that's missing. It's the puzzle piece of forgiveness. I said you have not forgiven people, and you have to forgive. If you're going to see Jesus and you want to be accepted by him, and I know he wants you, you have to forgive everybody else before you get there. So we're working on that. And she's got to that place now. But I'm just saying, you know, whatever you're going through, if you know the Lord, he makes everything so much better. Because he loves you, and he knows you, and he wants to meet you. And this is where he meets you in his word. So if you don't spend the time, you know, you can have a surfacey relationship with the Lord, which is true. Are you going to make it to heaven? Yes, because you're walking around with the helmet of salvation. But he wants you to have the full armor of the Lord on. He wants you to have the boots and the breastplate and the sword and all. He wants you to have all that stuff. And how do you get that stuff? You got to go to the Word and you read that stuff. And then it's like that armor just gets put on you and you get strong. And you can battle. You can battle a lot better when you have all the armor on. Okay, fast forward. So we've got four characters. We have Zacharias, who did not believe. Godly man, great guy, I'm sure. He didn't believe. And then once, which is cool, once the baby was born, once they named him John, like the angel had told him to, then he got his voice back. And the first thing he did is, you guys, I'm not going to read it to you, but you need to go back and read what he said. It was powerful. He was saying all these things that his son was going to do. It's amazing. John the Baptist was like, he was a crazy man. You guys see The Chosen at all? Did anybody watch The Chosen? Okay. I mean, it's Hollywood. It's not everything scriptural. I get that. But he was a wild man. And they captured his personality pretty good in that show, kind of what he looked like. But, you know, he was in the desert, and he was eating honey and locusts. And I'm sure his parents were dead. It wasn't like God gave them long life to watch their son grow up. I mean, maybe they got to watch him till he was 13. I mean, I don't know how old he was when he actually went out to the desert. He was young, but I don't know how old. I mean, we know that Jesus was 33 when he started his public ministry. And so we know that John was just, what, like, you know, they were cousins 6 months apart. So maybe, you know, he was down baptizing people and stuff in a few years before that. So, you know, maybe God did give those parents a longer time to raise them. We don't know. There's a lot of things that the Bible doesn't talk about. But it's things that we can consider and we can think about. And I wanted you guys to do that. So then we had Elizabeth. Elizabeth believed that she would get pregnant. She got pregnant. That was amazing. Then you have Mary. She believed the angel. Then you have Joseph. He also believed the angel. So this angel was busy. And I hope if an angel came to you, you would believe it. It says, but you got to be careful because sometimes even the demons can come as an angel of light. So you wouldn't want anybody that said anything to you in a dream or a vision to say anything that's different than what's in the Word of God. That's why you have to know the Word of God so you would know that was true. Okay. So now I'm going to let you guys think about that word, believe, believe, believe. We're thinking about, okay, now we have a new understanding of what that means. And there are some really awesome worship songs, and I'm sure you've heard them. They're not new, but it talks about believe. And I think one is by the Newsboys. They're kind of an older group. And then one is by Hillsong. And regardless of what's going on in those people's lives, when people write music, man, music is so powerful, right? Music is, I think it's one of the most powerful things. And that's why the enemy was a worship leader in heaven and he got cast down, right? So anyways, I'm going to read this to you. And then you, if you believe in this, I just want to see your hand go up real quick. Okay. Here we go. I believe, okay, let's see. I'm going to start here in this one. I believe in God the Father. All right, good. Second one. I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. I believe he's given me new life. Okay, good. I believe in the crucifixion. Okay. I believe that he conquered death. All right. I believe in the resurrection. Good. So those are things that that we all believe. Those things are powerful. And you should know that. And so When you have this song in your mind, you can start repeating, these are the things that I do believe. I don't believe in the magic of Christmas. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin in the manger for the whole world to be saved. The angels came out. The shepherds came. You know, I mean, this is truth. All right, this is the same thing. This is another one of the songs. It says, I believe in eternal life. Okay, I believe in the virgin birth. Okay, and I believe in the Holy Church. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, but just the Holy Church, the church in general. Okay, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. We're going to rise again. Okay, and I believe in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus, right? So there are things that are common denominators. There are things that we can believe in. And it will change us. We want to please God. How many of you want to please God? I hope you do. Why would you? Why wouldn't you? Like, if you're a Christian, like, that's what I want to do. I think that's what every Christian should want to do, is to please God in the way I dress, in the way I drive, in the way I sing, in the way I shop, in the way I cook. God wants to be God of every area of your life. He wants you to please him in every area. And I want to please him in every area. And do I fall short? Yes. And will I fall short? Yes. Until I see him face to face, I'm always going to be dealing with my own sin. But I'm going to read this to you. It says, he will bring back this day, this study, God's truth. This is what we believe. We believe the word of God. He will bring this study back to your memory, hopefully better than last year. So if God blesses me and I get to come back again in the future, I will say, remember what last year was? And you guys will say, what? Because you have the keychain, you have the verse, Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite scriptures, which says what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We gotta have faith. And that's the belief, what? That God exists, that Jesus exists, that he has a plan for us, that he has a purpose for us, that he has good works prepared in advance for us to do. That's the way we please him, walking in those good works that he's planned, right? And he wants us to, you know, this fellowship here is so sweet. You guys, I come and I've gotten to know you over the years, and you've got a great pastor's wife and a great pastor, and you've got godly women, and, you know, just gather together, just love each other. You've got quilters. That's the most amazing quilt, you know. Sign that quilt and just love the people that God gives you right here on this main drag here in Stockton. It's the love of Christ that draws people. So the more we love, the more we invite people. I met this young lady right here, and this is her first, I think, your first women's event. She's so beautiful. She has four kids. Draw her in. Draw her in with cords of love. When you have a threefold cord, it's the cord that cannot be easily broken because Jesus is in the middle of that. You draw people in with your love. And you guys are loving women. You really are. I can say that because I've been with you these last few years, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege. So again, what do we want to do? We want to please God. And how do we do that? In faith, we do this. We believe in the truth of the word. Find the nuggets, find the treasures, find the jewels, whatever they are that God wants to speak to you, they're in his word. And he loves you enough, he will speak to you as you read the word. Go back to Luke and read the story yourself and think about, put yourself in Mary's place, put yourself in Elizabeth's place, put yourself in what was happening, and it really will change you. So just a quick show of hands. How many of you have ever considered if Mary was with Elizabeth when she had John the Baptist? How many of you have ever thought about that? Wow. Awesome. All right, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever thought about... No, I'm not even going to say that one. That was good enough. Excellent, girls. You have got some good students of the word here. And hopefully I will get to speak to you again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.